unsung woman. The enchantress had myriad guises. A favorite of hers was a froth-topped blonde with a bruised aspect that made her look like a balding fruit seller gone bad along with its goods. Buyer beware. The witch Kum Khan Man had seized a castle, and like everything about her, it turned truth on its head. The castle's name was the Beautiful View. It had a golden veneer, a shimmering quality, that pulled in travelers until they opened their eyes to the ungodly sights and their ears to the cries. It happened that the Janus-faced witch had an interest in the orphan Alessander, a fresh knight questing the killer of his father while carrying his bloodied shirt. The orphan had great wounds of his own from battle. The witch could heal him, but he had a price to pay. He'd have to serve at the castle for a year and a day. Alessander agreed, what young man wouldn't? But when he was well and strong, the price was daunting. He'd have to defend the castle, his year-long prison, and turn from avenging his own father's death. Then a damsel came to him. "Be of good cheer," she said. "I can deliver you from here." The woman was the rightful owner of the castle, and she had a powerful uncle with hundreds of knights. Her uncle despised the witch and the goings-on in the court. "It's worse than you think," she told Alessander. "She'd use you for her pleasure, a corrupt queen of hearts." "Jesu," he said, "I'd rather cut off my parts." The damsel said she'd give her uncle the call to clear the poxy playground. She had a plan. She'd take Alessander's horse and armor to the garden, and before the assault, take him. There he'd stay. Since he'd remain on the grounds of the castle, he'd both be free of it and in its compass to keep his oath. The woman's uncle attacked, felling the walls and setting wildfire through all the wretched ruins. Alessander sheltered in the garden and stood guard when the forces left. It was his domain to protect, as he had vowed, against any knights who passed until his string of days had come to the last. In defending that plot of ground, he gained repute as a doughty knight, a champion among men. Word of his audacity crossed the land, attracting a duke who was known to journey to Jerusalem and his daughter, Alice the Beautiful Pilgrim. This was the name she was given after her father's acclaim. Alice publicly pledged herself to the man who could overthrow the knight defending that garden, Alessander the Orphan. But after one joust, she was taken with Alessander himself, his force and flair. She gulped in a breath and leapt from her place, grabbed his bridle and cried, "Show me your face!" He lifted his helmet, and she was overcome. "Sweet Jesu," she said, "you're my guy." Pulling back, he said, "You might do likewise." When she unwound her wimple, her full features came to light, and all Alessander could do was stammer, breathless, "I promise my heart to you." If love burns, his breast was a conflagration, and it consumed his senses. He continued defending the garden in jousts, then glimpsed Alice again, trotting by, and was so unstrung he didn't know if he was riding or walking, eyes blinded, tongue tied beyond talking. A false knight noticed Alessander's besottedness, dismounted, and took the bridle of the numbskull's horse. He led the dazzled one in a winding way toward the border, where he might cross out of the garden and break his oath. Losing the jackstraw of honor in his heap of passion meant there'd be nothing left to keep. It was the woman of the castle who saw the danger. She'd engineered Alessander's freedom from the witch and was watching in a pavilion outside castle grounds. Now she saw he was desperate again. She grabbed a sword and sprang onto a horse, and reaching him, buffeted his head with all her force. The blow brought him back to his own senses, making the false knight flee and the damsel duck into the pavilion for fear of a misunderstanding. When his head had cleared of the fires of love and of pain, he raged at himself, not at the one whose willful charge had saved him from being undone. Soon Alessandro and Alice could laugh at that scene, a woman galloping down on him, waving a sword, the absurdity of it, especially against their glamour and beauty. And yet, if the better part of beauty is the hearts, the unsung woman, the one who bid it all, was a goddess answering their true heart's call. The beautiful people had been lost, an orphan bent on revenge, and a pilgrim to the next big thing. When their laughter fell to silence, they still could hear the woman's tracks, thundering toward love, clean of the witch's darkness. Sam S. Dodd.